Good morning. Welcome to Wylie United Methodist Church this morning. Glad that you are spending your Sunday morning with us, worshiping the King of Kings. Is the Holy Spirit welcome here? Amen. Amen. Few things. If you are visiting with us this morning, there's a blue card in the seat pocket in front of you. Invite you to fill that out for us. Would love for you to do that and let us know that you were here. There's a box on there you can check and with your email address if you'd like to be added to our email list. Also, when you finish with that, you can just leave it there in your seat. It's fine. And we hope that you'll register with us. We can't know you unless we know you've been here and who you are. And we would love to get to know you better. A few things coming up. If you've been getting my email, you've seen we've got big Sundays coming up. The Palm Sunday here in a couple of weeks. And we're going to have Easter egg hunt. And we're going to have a covered dish luncheon. So start, ladies. I don't know if there's any men in here I'd want to eat your dish or not. But ladies, help them. Help them if they're going to make something. Start getting that stuff together for that meal. That's always an enjoyable Sunday, a blessed Sunday. The kids will come in with the palm branches, and so just a great, great opportunity to invite friends. And with that in mind, Lee, throw that slide up there. Somebody wake Lee up. There he is. All right, that is the front and back of a little card, about the size of a business card. Here's what I'd like us to do with that card. Take a handful. We've got several. Take several of these cards. There's on this table as you leave over here. There's also on the table as you leave over here. There's a box. It'll have those. I've got more if we run out. But give those to people that the Lord lays on your heart to invite to church, not just for Palm Sunday and Easter, but for any Sunday. Someone this morning was saying that something that they've done with those in the past is when they go to have a nice meal and they have a waiter or waitress, they leave those on the table when they leave and maybe even make an invitation to them. And they also said they tipped well when they did that. So some of you scrimpy, tippers, you might want to put, Wylie Baptist card on the table or something. I just saying, just a thought. But anyway, those cards are out there on the table. And we invite you to use those. Christ did not save us just for our benefit. Did you know that? There's other people that need Jesus all around us. Did you know that in our community? There's people all around us that are hurting, that need the love of Christ, and they need the love of the body of Christ. And this is a loving church. And so I just invite you to really begin to pray into a passion for that. So turn, if you would, with me to Hebrews. Don't spend a lot of time in Hebrews, and I'm really not sure why. I need to spend more time in Hebrews because it's an incredible book. Just really speaks to the gospel in a way that none of the other writings of the New Testament does. Hebrews chapter 5, and we don't know who the author of Hebrews is. Theologians are divided on who that was, but we do feel really comfortable as the, historically that this was a divinely inspired book and was written very early in the life of the church. So we pick it up in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. We have much to say about this. Now, the writer of Hebrews had been talking about the deeper things of Christ, how Christ was our high priest and so on, and he's trying to teach them about these things. He says, we have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. Well, I want to stop there a second. The elementary truths of God's Word means that some of God's Word is basic elementary type stuff. The basic message of the gospel. But what the author is implying here, there's more. There's more. Shake your head if you're hearing me. There's more than just the basic gospel message that we are dead in our sins and that Christ came and saved us and that we have eternal life through Christ. There's more than that, even though that's incredibly awesome. You need milk, he says, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. Verse 1 of chapter 6. Therefore, what do you do when you see therefore? Go back a few verses and see what it's there for. Therefore, because of what he just talked about, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. I feel your presence. We want more. Teach us. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Speak in power and authority. Transform our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to watch this little video.
Good morning, Reagan. Good morning. Good morning, Madison. Good morning, Johanna. Good morning, Johnny.
People are always asking me why. Why do the same thing every year? Why not move on? And I say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Johnny?
Present.
I'm comfortable. I know the routine.
United States of America. And to the Republic.
And I don't want to brag, but I'm pretty popular around here. I do really well in sports.
Well,
I'm just very successful here. Why would I go and mess that up by graduating? I mean, in the first grade, I may not know all the answers.
D-dog.
The hours are longer. I hear they don't even have nap time. I mean, I just don't see the upside. Then first grade leads to second grade, second to third. Then you're in high school reading boring books with no pictures.
Still hungry.
Next thing you know, people expect you to get a job and give up summer vacation. No, sir. I think I've found my niche. Thank you very much. Home sweet kindergarten. Besides, I mean, what if I failed first grade? How humiliating would that be? Nope, just don't think I could handle that kind of embarrassment.
And sometimes later, why you?
That was not a good choice. Very disappointed.
I think I know that man. I'm not sure. You know, we laugh. It's kind of a cute little video. We laugh. But how many of us are there in our spiritual walk? Did you pick up on all the subtleties? It's like, you know, it'd be embarrassing if I went up to the first. What if I failed the first grade? What if I moved forward and failed? What if people laughed at me? What, you know? And it's like he enjoyed the perks of where he was at. He enjoyed, you know, the nap time. By the way, I could relate to that. Did you see the blanket? You know, it hit him about shin. I love that. But how many of us are there in our spiritual journey? We receive the good news of the gospel of Jesus, and we stop. We stop. I want to look at three things today as we dig a little deeper into this passage out of Hebrews. The first is that we are vulnerable. Well, yeah, there you go. Sorry, I missed my slide there, Lee. But Comfortable in Kindergarten is, yeah, there we go. Comfortable in Kindergarten is the name of the sermon. The first is we are vulnerable to spiritual complacency. Every one of us are vulnerable to spiritual complacency. You may have been a hardcore Christian. You may have been a term from the, wasn't it the 60s, the Jesus freak. You remember the Jesus freak? You may have been passionate about Christ, but are you still passionate? Are you still pressing into Him? Are you still growing? Are you still passionate about sharing the good news with others? We are vulnerable to spiritual complacency. Now, look at this passage that we read today. We have much to say about this, but it is hard to explain because you are slow to learn. Evidently, this problem existed in biblical times as well. It's not a new problem. In fact, though, by this time you ought to be teachers. You need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's Word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Now, I was thinking about that. It's like, you know, when we have children, they start off with milk and they progress, and they usually, you know, a lot of the kids have the little passies. What if you were, you know, 15 and went to school and you still had your little tippy cup and your passy? What would people think? Yeah, we do that spiritually, don't we, church? We stay with our little passy. And I'm just going to kind of get real with us today. I'm going to kind of, hopefully all of us feel like God's kind of getting in our face a little bit today. Because I hear things from people, not just in this church, but in general, just in the Christian community. I hear people, well, I can't teach Sunday school because, you know, I don't know enough of the Bible. I don't think I can do that. I'm just getting real with you. Community groups in our church is a big thing. If you've been in a community group, I know I could start calling on people right now, not just in my community group, but in other community groups. I could start calling you and say, come here and give us a testimony about community groups. And I could have several dozen of us giving awesome testimonies about the impact. Ed, I'm not trying to embarrass you, brother, but I'm glad you're here. Ed Bunger's been dealing with some stuff, and he had a procedure on Friday where they went in and zapped a little piece of something, a clot in his brain. And several from his community group were there praying for Ed. And if he didn't, if you're wondering, Ed, he did not come out any better looking after the procedure. I asked him for that, but it cost extra, so we didn't do that. I'm sorry, Ed. I love you, man. That's how I show my love to you. You just wish I didn't love you quite so much, don't you? But here's the deal about community groups. We need leaders. We need more groups. And we can't add that many groups because we don't have people stepping up and going, I'll lead. I'll lead a group. And there's all sorts of reasons probably going through people's mind. Oh, well, I'm too busy. We got to get the kids in bed. Sometimes I'm out of town or I don't know enough about the Bible or I'm not a leader or I'm this or I'm that. We sit, and then we take a sip from our tippy cup. That's what we do. Spiritual vulnerability. We are spiritual complacency. We are vulnerable to it. Another time, another passage in 1 Corinthians, Paul is speaking to the Corinthians, and he takes up on this same line of thinking, this same logic that the author of Hebrews says. He says, brothers, I cannot address you as spiritual, but as worldly, mere infants in Christ. I gave you milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it. Indeed, you're still not ready. Can you hear the frustration in Paul? He's telling this church in Corinth, it's like, grow up! It's time to get serious. There's eternal ramifications at stake here. People's Eternal destiny is at stake. And there's hurting people all around us. Does anybody know any hurting people? This world is tough. People die suddenly. People get cancer. There's tragedy. There's unemployment. There's broken marriages. On and on and on. There's just broken people all around us. And we're sitting back more worried about the soccer league. I'm just being real with you today. We're more worried about our life and making sure everything fits nice and tidy in our world. And there's hurting and dying people all around us. Billy did a funeral this week with a family that I didn't know. And God bless them. I hope that they didn't have a church home. And so Billy stepped in and blessed that family and served that family. It's like, that family needs this body of Christ or a body of Christ. Who's going to tell them? We, from the biblical times until today, we are vulnerable, church, to complacency. Second thing, the goal of the Christian life, the goal is righteous living. The passage, verse 13 today, the passage out of Hebrews. Anyone who lives on milk still being an infant is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. What is the teaching about righteousness? The teaching about righteousness is that God is righteous and He is calling us to be righteous. He is holy and He is calling us to be holy. Ephesians, Paul says it to the church in Ephesus like this. Become mature. Attaining to the whole measure, the fullness of Christ. It's like we got a taste. He's saying, press on to the fullness of Christ. There's more. There's more. There's more. For me, there's more. I haven't arrived. Have you arrived? Press on, become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching. Instead, in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. There's this process of growing that Paul is talking about. Now, Billy prayed for our election today. Do you know that I see, you know, one of the things that I see is they do all these polls, you know, as you're watching the election and this candidate, and they got so many of the evangelical Christian vote and blah, blah, blah. We are deceived as Christians in our nation because we vote. It's just a little snapshot, a little snippet of who we are as the church. We vote based on, well, that guy, I like that guy's hair. Dang, man. He got good hair. Man, he's charismatic. She's this or that. I mean, we got all these little reasons why we're drawn to a candidate. It's like, have we prayed? Have we prayed as a nation, as the Christians of our nation? Have we prayed and we said, God, who's your man? Who's your lady for our nation? Or are we tossed to and fro with the waves, just like a cork out in the ocean? Whatever the latest poll or the latest fad or whatever the latest, you know, social position is, we're just tossed around. We just float like a little float out there in the ocean. Did you know Jesus is the rock? He is the firm foundation. He doesn't float. And I've said this before, God, did you know God has an opinion on everything? Did you know that? He has an opinion. And His opinion is the only one that matters. My opinion doesn't matter. The poll's opinion, the social position, none of those things matter. We seek the heart of God. Our goal is to be holy like God, like you're holy, to be righteous. Third thing I want us to hear today, Christ likeness. is intentionally pursued. Intentionally pursued. It is a journey. It's not, we don't get to a destination and just sit back on our laurels and think we have arrived. It's like, a few months ago, as a sarcastic note, I put attached a ticket. I talked to somebody this week, I think it's Krista, said she still has her ticket to heaven. I attached a ticket to heaven in the bulletin, and I was trying to make the point is that's not the goal, to get our ticket to heaven. Some of you, just in case, are hanging on to it. I want to tell you, when you get there and stand before the Lord and you show him that ticket, he's going to go, are you kidding me? You went to Hatcher's church, didn't you? But that's not what we're after. Even though it's a great benefit that we're going to have eternity with Christ, he has called us to be a people in pursuit of his heart and to share that pursuit with others. Verse 14 of our passage today says, solid food is for the mature. Well, that seems to indicate that there's someone besides the mature. There's the also immature. So I guess I'll stop there a second and say, which one are we? Mature doesn't mean we've arrived. Mature means that we're not in kindergarten anymore, like the dude on the monkey bars going, yeah! You know, he's like 45 years old or something, dominating the other kindergartners. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So there's this process, there's this pursuit, there's this training, there's this constant use. He wants us to pursue him. You know, I was thinking back to when the girls were little and they were growing, and I've shared this before, but I remember Jordan, she hit some years there where she would just, Cheryl and I would tuck her in, and she'd just like, Daddy, I hurt. She was in those years where she was just growing, you know, like 2 inches every night. And she's just like, I hurt. And we were like, well, is this wrong? Is that wrong? And it was just growing pains. When we took her to the doctor and got her checking it, no, she's just, everything's stretching. Ligaments are stretching and bones are growing and all these things are happening, and it produces pain. Sometimes growth is painful. We want growth to be easy. I want to tell you, the times in my life when I have grown leaps and bounds has been through trials, not through the good times. I like the good times. I like the easy times of life when everyone seems to be healthy and blessed and so forth. But the times of real growth in my life has been through the trials. So we mature, we become mature and begin to consume solid food when we constantly use those things and when we have trained ourselves. There's this process, this pursuit of God. Then he goes on to say, therefore, let us leave the elementary teachings about Christ and go on to maturity. There it is again. There's this going on to maturity. Paul says to Timothy, flee the evil desires of youth and pursue righteousness. Pursuit. There it is again. So how do we do it? How do we do this? These things that you're telling us, Pastor, how do we do it? Well, the most concise way I can say it is this. We press into Christ. We press into him. If there's anything in your life you want to be better at, you press into that. You practice and you study and you learn and you surround yourself with people that maybe can tell you some things that maybe help you in that pursuit. Ask God to reveal his great love for you. For me, in my own journey, when I started this pursuit of God, when I started really growing in the Lord, was when I realized how incredibly in love he was with me and how incredibly unworthy I was of that love. That changed everything for me. Ask God to reveal his great love for you. If you don't understand how he feels about you, ask him to show you. I promise you he will honor that. Because he wants you to know how much he loves you. God's kindness, Romans chapter 2 says God's kindness leads people to repentance. It's not shaking our finger at people and telling them you're going to hell if you don't have Jesus. That's not sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. It's the kindness of the Lord that leads us to repentance, to understand how much he loves us and what he's done for us. Ask him to give us a passion for him that we pursue through prayer, through worship, through reading of his word. You know, too many times we make these things that we check off of our list. And we go, you know, if I want to be a good Christian, I got to pray. Check. If I want to be a good Christian, I go to church. Check. If I want to be a good Christian, I got to read the Bible occasionally, even if it's torture. Check. No. Those are not check marks so that we can show God how good we are. Those are ways that we press into him. You know, and I tell people when I'm doing marriage counseling, I tell, you know, men, men, I know we can't even spell cuddle, number one. That's the first thing. We don't even know how to spell cuddle. But I mean, and you know, women are more in touch with their emotions. I gotta work at it. I mean, I have to work at it. Cheryl doesn't have to work at it. It just, you know, she just feels stuff, okay? It just happens. But if I never talked to Cheryl, if we never talked, what kind of a relationship would we have? God wants us, he wants to have relationship with us. That's what prayer is. Prayer isn't where we tick down through our list of, I need this, I need this, I need this, thank you for this, bless this. He's not Santa. We don't sit in his lap and give him our wish list. He wants relationship with us. He wants to, if we're frustrated, if we're tired, if we're angry, whatever it is, he wants us to tell him. He wants us to listen to what he has to say back to us. It's a conversation. We come to worship, not to tick it off the list, but because you find God in community. We find God. Have you felt God here this morning? Has anybody felt God here this morning? I have. I was stirred as the play and the worship team was leading us in worship. I felt the Holy Spirit. And that tastes good. It's good. Be in his word, and his word is not, again, it's not a, we can look at it as a discipline. Yes, it is good to be in his word, even when we don't feel like being in his word. Yes, that's okay, that's all right. But the thing is, God has spoken. And don't we want to know what he has to say about everything and about us, how he feels about us and so forth? That's how we learn. We get into God's word. And to hang out, so we press into Christ by hanging out with others that are passionately seeking him. And that gets back to, you know, not just worship. It's so easy. I'm just telling you, church, it's so easy for us on Sunday morning to slip in to worship and slip out and never know anybody. Did you know that that's possible? And some of you that maybe have been going here for months, I don't know you. I want to know you. I really do. And others can be here 1 week, and they come to me, and they're like, I want to talk. I really felt blessed this morning at church. I want to talk. Let's talk. Let's get to know each other. And maybe they've only been here 2 or 3 weeks. It's easy to slide in and slide out, but God connects us with one another to help us press into him, to deepen us, and so that we can be there for one another. So, do we want to graduate from kindergarten? It's time, right? Amen. It's time. I mean, that dude, bless his heart, on that video. It's time, dude. If I knew him and that was really happening, I'd be like, dude, are you tired of carrying the bubble in your mouth? I mean, come on. And y'all, some of y'all that don't have little kids don't know what I'm talking about. Anyway, it's time. It's time for us to grow up It's time for us to be the body of Christ. Each one of us, myself, right at the top of the list. Jesus, let's see what Jesus said about all of this. He said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then I'll take care of all the rest. Seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, and I'll add all these other things to you. And then he said in the famous Sermon on the Mount, he said, blessed are those, happy, blessed, happy, happy are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Are we hungry? Are we thirsty, church? Blessed are those, Jesus said, who hunger for righteousness. Jesus happened to also say, in regards to hunger, I'm the bread of life. My body is broken for you, so that our hunger would be satisfied. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be satisfied. Jesus said that this cup is his shed blood poured out for us. I want to invite you, as we come to the Lord's table this morning, I want to invite you to take just a moment. We don't come here as a perfect people. We come here as a broken but redeemed people. Christ makes us whole. Not our behavior, but Christ makes us whole through his shed blood and his broken body. So just take just a moment, silently just confess your sins before a holy God. We thank you for this bread and this cup. We pray that you will make it be for us the body and blood of Christ. Bless us, O God, as we partake in this meal that you have instituted. Thank you for the wholeness that is provided at this table. In Jesus' name, amen. If those who are serving and our praise team, our sound team, will come forward, please. Lord invites you to his table. If you repent of your sin and you have confessed Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're welcome to come to this table today. You do not have to be a member of our church or any church. If you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin, you're welcome. These two stations here and these two stations at this end, you'll be given a piece of bread. Dip the bread into the juice, partake in that manner. The offering rail is open. In the center is the individual cups and the individual wafers there. If you would like to be served in that manner, you can come to the center. Come.
Jesus, my Savior, Lord, there is none like you. All of my days I want to praise the wonders of your mighty love. My comfort, my shelter, tower of refuge and strength, let every breath, all that I am, never cease to be overcome.
Let us leave the elementary teachings of Christ and go on to maturity. Go and tell someone. We are dismissed. God bless you.